FMX Network production.
Welcome to the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, and Motorsport.com on RacerXOnline.com. With your continuing gracious support of our sponsors, we're thriving at over 1,800 podcasts delivered with over 20 million downloads. Click the Amazon banner on Pulp MX to help us out. Donate via Patreon if it suits you. And as always, enrich your moto lifestyle by working with the sponsors who support us. The original Moto Podcast, featuring legends of the past, stars of today, season previews, race reviews, introspection, opinion, facts, and laughs. Here's the voice bringing it all to you, Steve Mathis. Say that dedication, your frustration.
Welcome, everybody, to the Fly Racing RacerX Podcast, Philadelphia Supercross Review Show. Weege JT, as usual. Thanks for listening. Appreciate it. Tell a friend, subscribe, all of that. Go through the banner on pulpmex.com to go to Motorsport to make a purchase. That would help us out. Thanks to the guys at Motorsport, Renthal, Maxxis. But first, Fly Racing. Flyracing.com, 25 years of Fly, Formula Helmet, simply next level, man. Rion technology. It's got the Conehead EPS design on it. Super lightweight, super good colors, all of that. It's so comfy. The guys at Fly have knocked it out of the park with that Formula helmet, and I urge you to check it out. Formula S helmet as well with the app. It could save your life. It really could. Thank you to the folks at Fly Racing for their gear. Max Anstey, RJ Hampshire, winning the last two races in Fly Racing. The Evo stuff is great. Kinetic mesh, all available, and all sorts of different colors, styles, and sizes. So thanks to the folks at Fly Racing for coming on board. Thank you to Renthal. Factory Honda, Jet Lawrence, using Renthal bars. He's got the twin walls on there. They got fat bars, fat bar 36, 7/8 bar. Chains made over there in the UK to the best of tolerances. Grips, bars, sprockets, chains, mountain bike things, Renthal.com. For more information, they've got a dealer inventory on their website. They have also a bar bend chart as well, so you can look at the bar bend that you like of another manufacturer, line it up, figure out the best Renthal bar you want. Renthal.com for more information on that. Maxxis Tires, a gift from the science nerds to the moto world, whether it is soft intermediate to hard terrain tires. Maxxis.com for more information. Kay Clayson, Freddie Noren putting these things in main events. Mitchell Harrison as well, Henry Yoder. Maxxis.com for more information. Great mountain bike tires. If you are a mountain bike guy, you already know this, right? So Maxxis.com for more information. And yeah, we'll tell you more about motorsport.com later on. But for now, let's get Weege JT on and talk about our weekend in Philadelphia. Thanks for listening. All right, and now to talk about Philly and more here on the Fly Racing RacerX podcast is first up, man who was in the booth this weekend with James Stewart and Ricky Carmichael, Jason Wygant. What's up, Weege?
Yeah, it's good to be back. Wait, I can't remember. Did I do the race before this or not? I don't know.
Yeah, you were in Nashville.
Yeah, I was. Yes, yep. Two in a row. It was awesome. I was really wondering how the Philly one would go since there's really no history of racing there. I know that they raced there one time, but I didn't know what to think about this one. But I feel like it was a hit from what I heard about the ticket sales and stuff like that. Seemed good.
Yeah, it seemed all right. Are you doing the last two?
That's what confused me there. Yeah, I'm not Denver. I don't know. Is there anything else going on in Denver that's important? I feel like I should be there, but...
Yeah.
Not going to be there.
Yep.
Is there anything going on?
Yeah. There's a privateer race Friday that's, really important and then a live show, but yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, we'll not be there, but I will be there for Salt Lake. Yeah.
Okay. Also on the line, Fly Racing, the official gear of Max Anstey, privateer dude, winning again. Jason Thomas, what's up, JT?
Not too much. That's two wins in a row for Fly Racing in the 250 class. I will take it.
Yeah.
That is
a very good thing for Fly Racing, for sure. All right. Yeah, Philly. Back in Philly since 1980. Obviously, different stadium. I thought it was cool. It was a day race, which is a little weird. I got asked about a day race about two or three times, and I'm like, I don't know. Like, I have strong opinions about a lot of things, as some of the listeners may know. I don't have a strong opinion on day races. Like, there's some good about them and there's some bad about them. Like, I'm like, whatever. JT's in the fireworks. We get it. We know that.
Yeah, but I do I do like the day race. I do. I think you lose a little bit of the spectacle. You know, I'm not going to back away from that take, but it, you know, for, I don't know. It depends on how I look at it. If I look at it purely from a fan perspective, what, who they're spending a ton of money to go to these things and are they getting the best experience? Maybe not. But for me, I'll take a day race every time. Like, if you're just looking at my selfish, what do I prefer schedule wise and all those things, day races are amazing.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I see some good, some bad, and I'm like, whatever. I'm fine. I they're fine to throw in once in a while to me. But yeah, Weege, good crowd, good stadium. Philly was into it.
Yeah, that stadium's pretty big, but I'd heard something like 40,000+ tickets were sold beforehand, and then you're probably going to get, what, maybe 10 more than that, you know, with the walk-ups. So that was really good. But I do have to figure this was an expensive one because I feel like walking around, did you notice the amount of police and just, I'm sure, union labor just standing around? I feel like there was an exorbitant number of police just sitting there collecting their nice paychecks. Didn't really have to be there, but I'm sure those are the rules. Welcome to the Northeast.
Yeah, I honestly didn't notice.
There was a ton.
There were so many police officers noticed. In the pits.
Oh, yeah.
So,
and I'm like, hey, Bill, you got to pay right there.
There was a very safe event.
It was.
So I forgot that I was invited to this catered Honda dinner figured out. And so I was up in the press box, and normally you go down to the pits, right, to check on after practice. Well, Sean from Feld ordered us the media some cheesesteaks, Philly cheesesteaks. So they were a little bit delayed, and then by the time I ate the cheesesteaks, I couldn't have time to the pits, so I never went to the pits to eat the Honda deal, and I never got to check on after practice, so I never saw all these police officers. I literally never went to the pits outside of 30 minutes before practice started, is I guess why.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was it for me in the pits.
It was a tour de force over there. I walked by, and Lars yells me over. They're just yelling my name. They told me I had this great catered meal.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted me to enjoy it, and they were expecting you at any minute. The whole team was gathered around just waiting for you to make an appearance.
I'm sure they were. Right.
Yep. Jet and Hunter's mechanics and Shane Drew, Trey Kennard, they just were waiting on you. And then I ate this great meal after I'd already had dinner with JT at the TV company. I had double dinners. It's great. And then they're like, hey, by the way, Travis Pastrana's over there at the Lawrence compound, which he was. I don't even know. He just came to the race, and he was just signing autographs.
In the Lawrence compound, yeah.
In the Lawrence compound.
Right.
I guess he was like, I live in Maryland. It's close. I'll just drive up to Philly and watch some Supercross.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, good.
Travis Pastrana, everybody.
I saw on social that he was there, which it's awesome. Yeah. So was the food good? Did I miss out?
Yeah, it was Italian. They were giving credit props to their chef over there. It was excellent. Yeah, missed out. Yeah.
Damn.
I did not get invited. I just want
to
put that on the record.
So
I did not get invited.
I don't know what was going on with the TV meal because the great Justin Brayton and James Stewart were up in the press box, and Stu was rummaging around the media food because he didn't think the TV food was what he wanted to eat. So I don't even know what it was.
Really?
But
I thought it was a pretty nice setup.
Well,
to be honest. I mean, I'm not saying everybody's palate's different. I'm not saying they had exactly what he wanted.
Yeah.
But it would be hard to discredit the setup, I think.
Okay.
Right, Weege?
Well.
Yeah, it was a barbecue. We had pork barbecue, chicken, shredded barbecue. I thought it was great.
Okay, well,
we've had worse.
That led to me to have 30 minutes of bro down time with James Stewart.
Stu's a big snacker, though. He's a big snacker. So I don't know if that plays a role into it.
He was absolutely like a chipmunk, grabbing things.
I don't think I've ever seen him eat a full meal. Like, it's always like snacks, this and that. And I don't know if that's like his normal MO, but I've noticed that over the years I've got to work with him now.
Yeah. So it was great to talk to Brayton and Stu for a while.
Wow. Two of the best ever.
Yeah, two of the best ever. Yeah, a lot of wins. Yep. A lot of wins between them, all of us.
That's right.
So that was great. And then also I want to give a shout out to our dear friend, Nick.
Oh, he's the best of us. He is the best of us.
He is just a classy individual. Weege, you've heard of this, Nick, my dear friend.
Yes, I've heard of your dear friend.
And he set us up with a restaurant in Philly Friday night. And it was fantastic. Myself, Lewis, Kellen, Cade, and JT went. And great conversations, great dinner. And then the best part, Weege, it was all comped.
Oh, JT told me a little about this. Called in comp.
Yeah. Yeah.
A called in, yeah. Not even at the dinner person paid for it.
And our friend Nick, the meat guy, fantastic individual. I want to give him a shout out. So,
have you ever actually met this dear friend of yours?
I have not.
Okay.
My favorite part of the story.
But he is a dear friend that I would do anything for. And I had a $100 Wagyu dry aged strip thing that was delicious.
Well, Steve's just going ham, right? And to be fair, he was planning on paying for everyone but me, which is okay. I didn't want him to pay for me. But so he wasn't ordering expensive things knowing that this was going to get comped. Like, I've seen Steve order the most expensive things on the menu when he's paying for everybody at the table. So this wasn't that.
Yeah.
But yeah, Steve is doing his thing, right? He's, what do you got? What's your best stuff, right? And he's just going at it, which I'm here for it.
Yeah.
If you're willing to pay for it, man, have at it. And you always are. So.
Right. And then they brought out escargot and some oysters, and they said, this is on the house. We didn't order that. It was on the house. So I just figured that was all we were getting for free, which is fine also. We had no problem paying. And then it ended up being, delicious and free, Weej. Your best kind.
I will back up what JT said. Went to Roost Chris with you in Birmingham, I think. And, you paid for some upper media members, and you didn't care what they ordered.
Well, you did get to the bottom of why I paid for some media members.
It's true, just to hang it around Dark Side's neck.
Yeah, exactly. Just another thing I've done for you. Just another thing I've done.
Unbelievable.
Right.
So. How much are people enjoying this part of the podcast here?
They're loving it. They're loving it.
Yeah. Listen, it's our podcast. We can talk about what we want.
That was even the highlight of the dinner was a pretty big highlight of the weekend. But can we get to the real highlight of your weekend?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It took 15 rounds, but they finally called me in to save Race Day Live and to pump it up. Yeah. Yeah. You know, obviously the Yamaha LCQ Privateer Challenge race is Friday in Denver. Buy a ticket, everybody. Maybe win a dirt bike or some other cool prizes. But, the great Justin Brayton got it done, Weej. Got it done. He did what you could not.
I don't get any credit in this either. I get nothing.
You get some credit for sure. Okay. You're right.
I just want a little bit.
Yeah, like, you get some credit.
I did do a lot more.
Right.
I did a little bit.
Because you did put in a word, and I did speak to the...
Yeah, I introduced you to
right.
the producer. Like, she makes the call.
Right.
It's her. It's 100% her call.
Right. But then a great Justin Brayton reached out last week and said...
Yeah, I'm sure he did more. I have no doubt
right.
about that.
And I had the jacket on, and the reviews for the jacket were fantastic as well.
The jacket got there.
Mm-hmm.
The jacket got there. I did nothing, by the way.
No, you did. Yeah, nothing.
No, I did absolutely nothing.
No. And you did come to the press box for the first time in weeks for like 5 minutes.
Yes, one free practice. Awesome.
Unbelievable.
Weej, what is your, were you in the pits a lot? Like, what's your day consist of? I know
I try to go to the pits as much as I can.
You are Joe Buck, so I get it. But what is your
I try to go to the pits as much as I can.
Okay.
Getting whatever info. Honestly, a lot of it, I wouldn't even say it's for the TV show. Because, I mean, first of all, we don't have enough time to get most things in. And a lot of it's like scoops you're not for public yet. Yeah. One thing I was really trying to do, we talked about this last week in the show. I'm investigating. I wanted to talk to the Lawrence camp over like, hey, my theory is that these guys are sprinting super hard and you're just waiting them out. So I talked to Osho for a while about that. He says he believes the lap times bear that to be true. And I was like, thank you. I had my meal. I was like, thank you again. Then I said hi to Travis Pastrana. Said thank you again. This is what I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to go to the pits a lot. And I still do some, but I've found that my job is more about what's happening on the track. So I try, anytime there's a bike on the track, I try to be watching it because I can pick little things up. And I feel like that's more my role. Like Will is in the pits and I trust her. She talks to everyone.
Yes.
So there's probably not a story she's not going to get. I've kind of been trying to figure out where my best time is spent. And I think it's just like absorbing every lap as much as I possibly can.
No, I'm with you. I think the only thing that you go into the pits would help is if you were like asking about a section and maybe wanted a rider to be like, no, it's actually this, not that. But that's
I do that in the tunnel.
There you go.
Like, I'll go down in the tunnel and ask those guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I think your role is not to provided the scoops as opposed to the track analysis.
I guess it seems obvious. I've recently figured that out. Like, I've been trying to figure out where should I be? Where should I be spending most of my time doing this? But I'm sure listeners are riveted right now. I know.
I go to the pits in the morning, and then in between the second and third practice sessions before the night show. After the third practice session before the night show, and then go back up. So, all right, let's get into it. Philadelphia. Brock Glover and Mike Bell won there in 1980, and now Jet Lawrence and Max Anstey in 2024. Jet crashed in the first turn in his heat, had to come back. I mentioned this to him in my post-race interview, that he got a really good gate pick, considering he had the seventh pick. He got right next to the box, and he said the rut was a little jacked, so that's why he thought that he got it. And then his turn on the inside of Eli in the first turn was, like, just perfect. Beautiful. Just amazing to do that. And then that's it. See you later. Turn the lights out. Obviously, he put on some points on Webb last week while Webb fell down in the last turn with Jason Anderson. And so it looked like it was going to be five more, and then it ended up being two more, and now it's 12. And Jet put on a perfect ride, Weech, led every lap. And he did come close to a tough block before the sand when he was tripling in, real close to a tough block one lap. But
he did.
Other than that, I didn't see much, Weech, for him making mistakes. It was great.
No, and it honestly kind of keeps kind of the same narrative going all year. You know, if he doesn't mess up, he wins. There's been one race where he led Arlington, you know, where he led and he coughed it up. And we can debate forever if that was pressure from Webb or not, or rookie mistake. We'll never know. But otherwise, we haven't seen guys beat him straight up for the most part. Ken Roczen's not afraid to pass him early in a race, sure. Eli's given him some business for a while, but for the most part, he's been the fastest guy. I thought they had him on the ropes with the gate pick, though, and I could not believe that he ends up next to the box.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, outside the box, so maybe not the ideal, but not bad. So, JT, my only thing must be that must have had a bad rut. I think you did ask, Steve, you did ask him about that. Like, why?
Yeah, I went down there. We did a report on the rut. Yeah. We couldn't get on the track because it was too tight, but I went down there. I was standing in the rut while they were on the parade lap, and I'm like, I'm going to report from right here. And it was like, I might get run over by the time they get to me, so I'm going to get the hell out of here. But his rut was not good, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. That's...
So that's why that gate was available.
Yeah.
That's what he figured. Yeah. Yeah. So, but.
Can't believe it.
He made it work, man. Yeah. And then
his jump was so good.
Yep.
I think he knew he had to get the jump. You know what I mean? It's almost, I don't know. I've heard people say this in the past, like, when you have to have something, some people buckle, you know, and it's too much, and other people, it, like, really focuses them on that task. And I think this was that situation where he nailed it. Like, he knew he had to have the jump. He knew the rut was not good, and he still overcame anyway.
I kind of thought everybody was going to be in trouble in practice when, in the second qualifying practice, the third one, no one was doing the four anymore over the table than on, off, and then four, because the track was probably hammered, and he was getting it clean, just like... Was it St. Louis where everyone except for him backed out of something, and then he was still nailing it like every lap, and everyone was like, yeah, the rut was screwed up or whatever, jump face was screwed up, and then I thought it was like the same kind of deal where I was like, well, this guy's got no problem with the four, so you know, he's already on another learning curve.
I really felt it was going to be the start. I did, and I'm not saying I was right or wrong. I just felt like if he started seventh or eighth, I didn't know if he was going to make it happen. But if you look at his results, he has been so start dependent, and we all know he's better than that, but man, it is really borne out in the results. Like, if he gets a good start and is up near the front on the first lap, everybody's in deep trouble. If he's not, buckle up. You never know what's going to happen after that. And I think this is just more evidence of that.
I mean, I think everybody's start dependent though, especially this year. Like,
well, I'm just saying for him to win, I really feel like the way Webb has been on it, and Tomac's better. I didn't think he would be able to come from seventh or eighth and win on this track. Like, I thought those guys would be close enough in pace, be able to block, have confidence now. I just didn't think he would be able to do it. But yeah, we'll never know.
Right.
He did get the start.
Whatever it was a few rounds ago, there was, MX Reference did a thing on Pulp. There was whatever number of podium positions, and only five guys all year got on the box. I believe it was five riders all year got on the box that were not in the top five on the white stripe. Like, it's just, it's so start dependent this year.
More, yeah, so we have,
because whoops, sorry, I mean, we got whoops, right? We got nine whoops. We got, I mean, it is what it is.
We have a stat, and this is, we got provided this right before the race, is courtesy of Clint Fowler. First lap positioning, six starts, his first lap position being eighth or worse. He's had six of those, and his average race finish is sixth in those races. He's had eight starts with an average first lap position of sixth or better, and his average race finish is second, right? So it's a pretty huge difference between whether he's in front of that main group or behind them.
It's going to be interesting to see, like, you know, this is a broader question for the sport, that if we end up like this, and it's a little bit like F1 where you can tune out after, you know, a few laps because you know kind of what's going to go on.
God, F1's the worst.
Without it is the worst. It's worse. It's worse, and it's worse than Supercross ever will be. But, you know, there is some of that where, you know, I've seen social stuff on my end where I'm the guys are like, I walk away after five laps because I know how it's going to go, or I'm not interested in Supercross this year or whatever. The guys are healthier. There's no debating that. We've got a healthy field. We've had healthy fields in the past with long whoop sections too. Not last year.
I don't know how you could say it. Like, there was still, even though Jet won, there was so much going on in the race. Like, there was a ton there.
So that's great. He's got a nice points lead now. We each 12 points, two rounds to go.
Yeah, I think Jet is messing up the curve on if the racing is exciting or not. And I don't think it's the reason when Jet gets the whole shot in that race, the reason everybody's like, I think I know how this is going to go is because there's nine whoops. It's because it's Jet Lawrence. And if Jet Lawrence was not there, we'd be like, dude, Webb and Tomac were out front. Sexton tried it down. And what a battle. Yeah, Anderson, last turn, last lap. Wow, it's great. But somebody else is 5 seconds ahead.
And to your point, you think that more whoops would make Jet worse? Like, he's unbelievable in the whoops. Like, it might be his best quality. Like, he is insanely good in whoops.
No, I think the point is just the start tells you how it's going to go.
Yeah,
I'm
just saying if they tried to make the tracks tougher or added whoops or whatever, I think it would only exacerbate Jet's ability, you know? Like, I don't think that's going to...
Yeah, but...
It might be helping some guys. Like, it's bringing... I think it's bringing some of the pack together. I just don't think that going away from that is going to do anything to Jet.
But the flip side is if those six races where he was sixth or worse, he may win them.
Maybe.
Yeah, and then that's exciting as hell, right? Watching the dude blitz through 12, 13 whoops and crush these guys. But anyways,
At the same time, is it better? This is what makes this so hard to figure out. Is it better if he had 11 wins and a 30-point lead right now? Is that better? Because it was fun to watch him do it, I guess. I don't even know what's better.
Yep. Chase Sexton, I thought that it's really a shame that what happened last week, because he was up front looking good and obviously went out. But the race before that was really good for him in Foxborough. And then DNF. And then this one might have been his best race of the year. I thought Boston was. I told him that. I didn't talk to him after this race, but it was fantastic. He was closing in on Jet. Now there were lappers and stuff, and Jet told me he was watching that and, you know, wasn't that worried about it, because he did. As soon as he got a little close, Jet put 0.8 on him, I think, the next lap. So, you know, there was that. But Sexton rode really well, and I don't know, maybe this was his best race of the year, JT?
I think they were both great. It's hard to – I would have a hard time deciphering the two. I think the main point of – and you probably agree, is that he looks like he's getting his old form back. You know, is he as lethal as he was last year? No.
Yeah.
But he looks like he's got some sprint speed in him. He looks strong at the end of the races. I thought it was interesting, the comment he made about the bike. He basically said, like, this bike was so different than anything I've ridden all year. We didn't really have any sort of setup going in. We just kind of threw something together, and it really worked. So it's interesting to hear them this deep in the season still really unsure with the bike. Like, by this time of the year, everybody's like, yeah, go two clicks this way, that way. Like, we're kind of done here, you know? And he's still, like, all over the place.
Yeah, I did a podcast with Keir, his dad, and his dad was telling me about the adjustment to the steel frame is maybe more than they thought. So, still working on it. But, yeah, he went down in the heat race also with Jet. And his gate pick wasn't great either, so, you know, you could see that in the start. But, yeah, he was great. He was really, really good. It was an exciting race to watch overall, for sure, despite Jet being gone, because you did have Tomac going backwards, unfortunately for him. Anderson moving up. Sexton moving up. So Anderson wins the heat and gets third in the main. This is his first podium in, I was going to pull this up and I forgot.
It was Glendale.
Glendale, okay. So, yeah. And I saw the Cowie guys this morning at the airport, balls early, and I was like, hey, and probably not a coincidence, the track was kind of like normal, like hard pack, and Jason rode really well, and they were like, nope. So, okay. Yeah, they were kind of saying that as well. So then we talked about how Salt Lake and Denver, the next two rounds, should see Jason more competitive, right?
Yep.
But he rode really well. Jason rode really, really great. I don't think Coop didn't know he was that close, I don't think, because Coop was kind of cruising.
Jason, I don't know if you saw it, but Jason had this line in the sand at the end of the race where he was doing the triple along the side and then going the very inside of that next corner, doubling on his left side. And that would set him up from outside to inside. He would triple into the sand and he was carrying he was tripling in. So that would carry so much speed, but then he was jumping the inside berm to the outside berm and just carrying all that speed around. He was absolutely annihilating Webb there. And Webb had no idea.
Was he doing what Jalik was doing? Like going triple,
yes,
double, and then out, and then, but was he going back into to exit or?
No, he was jumping out of the inside line to the outside.
Yeah,
so he didn't have to break.
Yep.
And he was so damn fast. And I think that's what caught Webb off guard because he probably made up a second, full second right there on the last lap.
Yeah.
And he was just right on Webb when he wasn't expecting it.
Great to have a flat turn after whoops too. Like we're going to have 9 whoops and we're going to have a flat turn. It's great. It's really, really, really nice. Really nice to see.
Need more nets.
Yeah, I've offered.
I think they were low on dirt too.
I've offered. By the way, shout out to the sand section though. That was cool. It evolved during the day. It changed. You know, it ended up being really cool. That sand section, I thought.
Yeah, I was on SMX post race show. I was gonna do the sand, and then I saw this rut that Webb used in the on the start. Well, didn't use on the
didn't
start.
Didn't use. Yeah.
And I decided to go there instead, but that sand was for sure the area I wanted to show because it was, oh man, there were huge bumps there. Like it was full outdoor Southwick style.
Yeah, it was cool. I mean, if I'm going to ruin them for 9 whoops and no berms, then you got to talk about the positives, and the sand was positive. So, you know, I don't know.
Yep.
But yeah, Coop was not happy after the race, as he should be. I don't know. I mean, Tomac probably had a worse race. Tomac went from second to fifth.
I think so.
Posted on social, went deep into it, deep into it, said that's not what we want.
Eli?
Yeah. It's not what we wanted.
Deep.
Man of many words.
Yeah. So
I have a Yamaha press release here. You want the quote?
Oh yeah. Eli? Let's see what they made up. Yeah.
It was an okay day. Really good heat race. Some good starts there as a whole. I started well in the main. I was in really good position for most of the race. I made a mistake or two and was passed. I was happy with my speed, but not my overall performance.
Do you think he's even knows that was said? Well, I know he didn't say it. Do you think he even knows someone said it?
I don't know. That actually sounds more detailed than other ones.
I was expecting 2 sentences.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
He may have actually said that.
I think it was a worse race for Tomac, the performance maybe, because he finished behind Webb. But yeah. Like, you got to look at what's on the line here. And, oh, my God, Webb's face. The interview there.
Yeah.
That is an all-time. That might as well be a damn emoji. Like, the poor guy, I mean, you know how bad he wants it.
Yeah.
But I think if you were to quiz either one, there's no doubt it stung more for Webb, even if he did finish ahead of him.
Yeah. Yeah, I would think so.
He needs these points, man, more than Tomac does.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've got to look at that and be like, oh, man.
Yeah. But I was surprised. I mean, Eli was great for about two. I did not. There's no way 2 laps in I'm thinking Eli's going to finish 5th.
No. No, he looked great. Yeah.
Yep.
He won the heat, right? He won the heat?
Yeah, he won the heat.
Yeah,
they looked fine and qualifying.
Yep. And then there's that. So, yeah. Well, Anderson and Sexton.
By the way,
getting in there is really spicy, you know?
Yeah, it is. It is. And it shows how close. I'm kind of the Starcross thing, I got a completely different view on that. And my view is that everybody's pretty good this year. And that just makes any week, it's like the difference between them is so close. Because everybody seems to be okay on their bikes and everybody's healthy. That's what I think. So any week, any one of these guys can beat each other, except Jet.
I think it's the whoops. Yeah. I think it's the whoops. We'd have to go back
really
break it down. But, dude, these things, And they were good this weekend. They were actually not bad. They held up. They were big.
They could blitz.
Yeah. Yeah. They could blitz.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I think it's because when you, I mean, JT raced, the whoops are so huge. These guys would tense up. They'd freak out. They'd think about them all lap, you know? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I don't like the 333. I don't like that they can jump the whoops as much either.
Yeah.
I just don't know. To me, that it's the second biggest factor with just how good everybody is.
I mean,
this year, but maybe you're right. Yeah.
We looked at it, I want to say last year on the Pulp Show, we pulled up random qualifiers from RV era to now. This was last year. And yeah, the gap from 10th to 1st has shrunk a ton. A ton in qualifying.
I mean, think what JT was racing when it was these three guys, they could fall in the first turn and they're going to get third anyway.
Yeah. And then there's 4 seconds to 10th or whatever, you know? Yeah. So, all right. Barsha's making a lot of bike changes and it's paying off lately with a couple good races for him. Hunter was all over him and did you see Hunter's pass on him
in the race?
Yeah. Feet off. Took Barsha out wide because he couldn't hit any brakes or stop. And then Barsha got him back. And then after the race, they got together. And you're like, oh, boy, like Barsha's mad. And then they high-fived because that Barsha was probably like, yeah, that was great. The way you just were out of control in the whoops and then just slammed into me and we went to wait to the outside. And then I dove in and after, yeah, man. Like they high five. Like I was like watching going, oh shit, you know, or maybe Hunter's saying, sorry. Like I was completely out of control. I don't know. But,
and Barsha was saying, yeah, it's great.
Yeah, man. So I thought that was pretty funny, but Hunter qualified quickest, man. It would have been interesting. Jet fell in the last turn, on his heater lap, but even still, Hunter got him after that. So
I saw something that said, his sectors were on pace to set the fast lap. Jet was, but you got to finish it.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. It looked good when you were watching it, right? And then he fell in the last turn. But still, Hunter Lawrence, he's won.
Either way.
He's won a heat race.
Hunter got it done. Yeah. That was really cool.
Won a heat race. He's now been fastest qualifier. You know, he got in the box, a little bit of help, but still he got in the box. So he's getting better, you know. He did find himself in a battle with Dylan Ferrandis for the first half of the main, though, yet again. Ferrandis.
Yeah, he practices with him every day, too. So probably a little bit of that.
Yeah, Ferrandis jumps back in. He's like, oh, these two guys again. So... Mookie, 8th, not bad. Kind of invisible, but 8th.
Is that not bad?
It's not bad.
I mean, I guess based on the standards of the season, maybe.
Yes,
but
yes, that's what I'm going at.
Is this just where we're at? Like, we're now 8th is okay?
I think so. Yeah, I think that's where we're at. Yeah, I do.
All right. That's a bummer.
Dylan came back, got 9th. Didn't notice him that much, to be honest. Justin Cooper.
Yeah, but I'd say that's not far off from where he was.
No,
he was off 6 weeks. I was actually pretty impressed with that.
Yeah, and good thing for Kyle Peters that Dylan came back, because Kyle wanted to race and couldn't race until Dylan came back. So I don't know if Kyle paid Dylan to show up or whatever, but I was told Dylan wasn't coming back till outdoors. That's what I heard from somebody that would know. But he came back. So Justin Cooper, 10th. He had to go to the LCQ, and he crushed that LCQ. So. Really good job on that one. Got 10th on the night.
Sexton, by the way, Sexton and Cooper went down in their heat. They weren't the same as Jet. There were two first turn, or I guess first lap crashes.
First lap crashes.
In two heats. Yeah.
Wait, Jet and Sexton didn't go down together?
No, Sexton, I think Schlosser fell, and that caught Sexton and Jacob in the other heat.
Okay.
Jet was all by himself. I couldn't tell if Jet hit Cooper's tire or just washed out.
Yeah.
It was so close in the heat.
Dean Wilson was 10th. Until the very end, the Cooper got him on the last lap. So Dean was 10th and then Justin got him. So I still think that's pretty good for Dino. So, and then Benny Bloss beat a Benny on the board for qualifying. 5th.
Yeah. And, Steve, we now discovered what color betas get on the board.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't like it. He ended up qualifying 8th overall, but he was 5th in the one practice. JT, did you notice that? It's gray.
Gray. Yeah, I don't think they know what to do.
Gray. Now, Benny says he doesn't care. Gray? Really? The bike's got every color under the sun on it but gray. It's red. It's blue. It's clear. It's got yellow on it.
I mean, Huskies aren't gray either. Huskies are white. And they get gray.
They get gray too?
Yep.
I haven't seen a lot of Craig and Malcolm on the board. So,
well, RJ, I see RJ.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay, well, so what do? They just run out of colors and they go gray for anybody that we can't do.
I can't two tone it, which is what Beta's doing.
Yeah, it is a blue and red bike.
But can we talk about Benny? Like a new
Dude,
level.
He's riding really well.
Yeah. He's riding. Yeah. He's riding good. Good cool. job. Yeah. Good job, Benji.
That's great for them. I have to think that anyone that saw Beta coming in had to have a carve out of the mind of like, might this just be horrible? Like, there's a chance.
This could be JT's Husky team.
We've seen tons of this.
Yeah.
And it's almost never good. So, like, if you tell anybody at the beginning of the year they're going to have a guy on the board, and Benny is fast, Benny can do it, but still, not if the bike is terrible. To me, this is like, hey, they're in it.
Yeah.
Like, this is great.
Yeah. No, it's cool to see. And they're doing some outdoors, too. I guess they're doing 3 outdoors.
Yeah. Is that to get playoff points, or do they just want to, or I don't know.
They're doing Red Bud, Millville, like some good tracks. So maybe it's a track thing. I don't know. So doing some motocross too.
Yeah, that's cool. They're supposed to do all of them next year, I think, right?
I don't know.
I think it's what they had said.
Colt Nichols, 13th. That was also a good ride from Colt Nichols. He had Justin Bogle there. Bogle's had a headset and everything.
Oh.
Yeah, Bogle's been getting choppered in for help because obviously him all and right. Colt are tight and it hasn't been going well. For Colt, but Bogle was there with a headset, you know, helping Colt out, and I think this was the best ride for Colt. 13th, I think he got another, but I think he's gotten 13th before, but this one he was closer to Benny. So,
well, it's been interesting, right? Benny's been actually super happy and not really changing the bike much, and Colt's been the opposite, I think, right?
Yeah,
yeah, but Colt, whatever, missed, I don't know, 6 races or something.
Yeah, so Colt 13th, Adam 14th. He went, it's such a race tech rant, but like the flaggers, man, it's just, Adam went down in practice over that little square wall thing. And then another guy went down earlier, and both times you can't see the rider's standing there. The bike is in the middle of the track and the flagger is 4 feet off the track, just sort of waving a yellow. Like, dude. Get out there! You got a helmet on. I don't know, man. I know they work with the flaggers. I know they talk. It's the same guy. Someone needed to tell this guy after Adam went down in qualifying. Hey, man, this is what you need to do. But no one did. And then another guy went down. I think it was Fast Freddy. And then he's not directing the bikes to anybody. He's just waving his flag. Riders are running over the bikes, almost dying. It's just we got to be better. We got to be better.
Yeah.
So, Adam 14th, McElrath 15th, Masterpool 16th. Anytime here, guys. Jump in anytime.
I'm glad to see Masterpool in the main event. It was cool. He was up there in the heat. That's an improvement. Like, he looked better.
He told me, I interviewed him actually. I found him in the pits, and he was really bad in the whoops, and then he figured it out. He told me he was in that early in the heat. He was getting destroyed in the whoops, and then he figured out jumping. And he got that down much better.
Yeah.
So Masterpool made the LCQ challenge race, and I wasn't sure, like Jerry and Ty, they're not exactly plugged in with what's going on social-wise. So I hit Jerry up and said, hey, you're in this race. He said he's heard about it. And then he said, is the race in the same place as the Supercross? And I'm like, yes, it's Friday. Same place. You know. So
I think it's a fair question. I mean, for multiple reasons. There's been plenty of big money races in the neighborhood of a race before, A. And B, he might be like, wait, you got a race?
Yeah, to do
yeah,
this?
Yeah. No, I'm saying Jerry and Ty, I don't feel are plugged in socially with what's going on social media and all that. So, yeah. No.
But if you had to guess, you would guess it was not in the stadium, I think. If you didn't have the info, which they don't,
right?
I'd be like, well, there's no way.
Okay, true.
I'm still shocked that it is.
Okay, good point. So Cade, speaking of the LCQ race, Cade was in the top 17. He was going to make it. There was other riders who threw the race to get LCQ points. Cade was asked what he was going to do, and he said he's going to let the chips fall where they may. And He made the main and got passed in the LCQ points by Josh Hill, and Cade is out. So
whoa, that's it. Like, it's done.
Yeah.
Locked.
Locked. And I don't think
you name some of the guys that threw it. Like, do you believe Hill purposely did not make the main?
I do not know about Hill.
I mean, Starling said he did.
Starling,
it's on record.
Yes.
Oh God.
Hill and I don't chat a lot, so not sure what happened, if he did it or not. He did. Hill did DM me and said, "Am I allowed in?" I'm like, "Yeah, you're in." So, yeah, Cade's out, and then
the tables have turned.
Yep.
And
how the turntables.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't give Cade a wild card, and I said, "Are you okay?" Because I gave it to 250 guys. All the five wild cards went to 250 riders, and then Cade was like, "Well, I understand, but I'm still mad." So
mad at himself?
No, you're just mad at me. Joking. Bumped. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Bummed out. Jerry made another main. That's two in a row for Jerry, I think. Did he make Nashville? He made Boston. Maybe it's two out of the last three for Jerry after only making one all year. Grant Harlan and Simonson got in because really that crash with Cooper and Sexton really helped them, and they got great starts and they held it to the finish. So Hardog is just riding outdoors these days, but he got in. Simonson has now got in and scored 0 points, I think, in three out of his four mains. This week he had a bike malfunction. So that's tough to get in the main.
Get a race tech rant coming on that.
Oh, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. And then 21st in outdoors gets a point. Yep. That makes a lot of sense. That's great. Moranz.
Yeah.
Dude, I don't know what's happened to Moranz this year. He has not been good. It hasn't gone well. And here he is in the main event. So good job for Moranz. He looked much better this week. So.
Yeah, I never know what the margin is. You know, Moranz and Cartwright last year really was good. And this year, I mean, dude, basically no mains for these guys.
Right. Yeah, it's weird, right? You look at Harlan, Cartwright, and Moranz, and how they crushed it last year. Now, Harlan's got an obvious a reason, you know, bad injury.
Yeah.
But
God, that crash was big.
It was. And then you look at Moranz and Cartwright, and you're just like, huh? What? Yeah. So.
Well, poor Harlan, man. He was doing it for his country.
Yep.
Doing it for Guam.
Yep. It sucks, man. I wonder if Guam has any health insurance for him or any sort of murals or do they
is there a statue?
Is there a GoFundMe for him in Guam to help out things? I don't know. I wonder. Anthony Bourdon was racing again because I guess Drake broke his hand, right? So Drake's probably out. So Bourdon was in. He made the main event, French guy. And Simonson 22nd. So
had he made a 450 before?
Who?
Burden?
Burden? Yes. Yes, he had. He
Daytona, maybe?
No, he didn't make Daytona because
he definitely didn't make Daytona.
I pumped him up for fantasy big time.
Oh, okay.
And he shit all over me. But he made it. He's made it since then. Yeah.
Shit all over
me. He did. He did. He just a giant dump on me. I took it personally. I took it personally.
No, it doesn't sound like it at all.
Right. So, all right. You guys got anything to offer here? Like, I feel like you're is
well,
this too
I,
late for you?
To cover on these random privateer guys?
I don't know. I mean, yeah. Something.
Well, I think we skipped a huge point here on the web situation. First thing, I guess I was wrong. I said you will not see Eli Tomac help his teammate, but I feel like he did.
Okay, all right. So you feel like he did? He just let him by?
That was not putting up any resistance on the second lap of a race. Like, to me, that was pretty obvious. Don't you guys think so?
No.
Wait, really?
No, I don't. I mean, I'd have to go back and analyze.
Oh, you think Webb just straight past him?
I do.
I think Webb was on the inside, and Tomac was like, okay, I will. I could
it,
maybe.
It was in the rhythm section after the start, right?
No, the after that rhythm, triple, and then the 180 after that.
Yeah.
Tomac went outside. Webb got close, and I think as soon as Tomac saw I was there, he's like, I might be able to fight you off, but just go. Just go.
Anybody check Eli's sag this weekend?
Is that what it is, maybe?
Well, I mean, he gave you guys that breaking news.
I know. The huge breakthrough. It was
whenever my sag is too low, I get arm pump.
Yeah. The back of the bike is too low.
Right.
JT, did you see the pass?
I did not see it. No. The first Webb Tomac pass you're talking about.
Yeah, I feel like Tomac
was right
like,
in front of me. I did. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I did.
If you're next to me,
I thought it was about later when. I did see that one.
I feel like Tomac said, "Go ahead."
Yeah, Webb had the inside for sure, but there was no fight in Tomac.
100%
position. Yeah. Yes. So like, I think you could argue both sides, but to me, there was a little bit of Tomac being like, "Yeah, I need to get out of the way here a little bit," but also Webb could have just cleaned him out if Tomac went for it also. But there was a little bit of championship-ness in it.
If he didn't do it last week, why would he do it this week?
I'm just like, you'd have to watch it. Watch it on TV.
Yeah.
Like he looks over, he sees it's Webb, and he totally checks up. I'm not saying he wouldn't have had the pass anyway.
Right. Yeah.
But there was no fight at all. Like none.
Again, with Eli, do we know? Did he tweak an ankle? He possibly could have tweaked this bad ankle. We have no clue.
Certainly didn't look like that.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
the difference between last week and this week is situational. It's a big difference in like 15 minutes into the race when you've got 8 or 10 seconds on the guy to slow down that much. And he's already next to me. And I could send it in this corner pretty deep and I'll maybe hold him off or not. That's a totally different situation. And it was lap 2, 3, am I going to fight him off over and over and over for the next 19 minutes and just battle him and battle him and battle him? So I was surprised. But to me, that was a definite, you're my teammate and you need points more than me. I'm not going to fight you.
All right. That's 450 class.
And then Webb, by the way, said, even in the press release here, it just got arm pumped. And I think some people, like even talking to RC and Stu after the race, you know, maybe he tried to go with Jed early, and sometimes you do too much too soon, and it actually ends up backfiring. I mean, did anybody have Webb going back to fourth on the bingo card?
No.
No.
No. I mean, bummer.
Okay.
You know, he tried his ass off. You know, he's going
to
do that.
I've yet to rewatch the race. I got to do that. But how were RC and Stu with Chase? Were they complimentary of this ride?
This one, I think they were very good, yes.
Okay, all right, checking.
Yeah,
they
have been critics in the past. They say that's just them telling it like it is.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I feel this time they were good.
I feel like like I said in the show, they're both awesome and they do great jobs. I feel like they tell it like it is with only Chase Sexton. I want to see more tell it like it is with other riders. That's all. Because they can certainly, as I've told both of them, you can tell it like it is and no one can say a word. No one. Can say a word to you, you know? Thanks to the folks at Fly Racing. If you buy Fly Racing, you can win races like Matt Hansen and RJ Hampshire. It's guaranteed, right, JT?
Sure. Yeah, we can go with that.
Kinetic helmet, too. Brand new. Relaunched.
Yep. And it's, like, we have to qualify a little bit. Like, Kinetic helmet's not anything like a Formula S or a Formula, you know, it's much more your entry level type product, but it is brand new and it is a huge component of our lineup. So it is important. I just want to always make sure don't confuse the two things. That's all.
I've been pumping it up and I tell people the Formula.
Okay.
You know, but the Kinetic helmet, check it out. Flyracing.com. Go to your local dealer. Thanks to the guys at Fly Racing for coming on the podcast. I talked about Renthal and Maxxis off the top. Motorsport.com, the best online ordering place for dirt bike parts in the world. Go through the banner on pulpmex.com to help us sell. Great prices, great shipping. I just straight up bought an oil filter for my 450 from Motorsport. I probably could have got one from Ulrich or somebody. Like, I'm sure Jelly would have gave me one, but I just ordered it from motorsport.com. That's what I do. So I got to change my oil filter. And Weege, unlike you and your oil change debacle, I am just going to add the amount of oil I know the bike needs and then walk away.
So the bike will have a sight window that you will not...
I will not even look.
...use to actually look.
Nope, because I know the bike takes 900 milliliters.
See, this is where it always gets me, whether I'm cooking a burger or working on a motorcycle. There just seems to be this, I just know. That people have that I don't. I'm like, the owner's manual says check the sight window. How am I supposed to know you actually don't need to? It says to. And that's what gets me on all of these things. You just know these things, but I just don't know these things.
You know the amount of oil the bike needs. So, you know.
I don't know. I'm like, it didn't go to the sight level that it said it would. So is there a problem here? Like,
where did you think the oil went?
I don't know.
Magic
just,
oil
like,
land?
The instructions. It said this would happen if I did this, and okay. It didn't.
All right. Well, I got an oil filter from motorsport.com okay. for my Yamaha.
Okay.
Thank you to motorsport guys. And they sponsored the Whole Shot Award for the upcoming Motocross Nationals. We are doing an outdoor motocross preview, I've been told. Right? We're doing
it? Yeah, we'll have to get this done, I would say, before Palo. We got to get these videos done. That would okay. be the goal.
All right. Sounds yeah. good.
So watch for it on YouTube between Supercross and Motocross.
Right. I'm not – I need money, more money for those, by the way. I forgot to tell you that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, okay, thanks to the folks at Motorsport and Renthal and Maxxis and, of course, Fly Racing and Onyx Maps as well, Weege.
Yeah, Onyx Maps, they've really revamped the app to make it even more specific information. So we have green trails, blue trails, black trails, red trails, which is the difference, easy, moderate, difficult, and
red,
extreme. And
red then, ones mean you're going to die.
It's called extreme here.
Okay, yeah.
Because if you go skiing, like, black is the worst, right? They have black and then they have red. They have an even harder level.
Yeah, I ride black trails a lot, and usually they're got exposure, and if you fall off the cliff, you could die. Red ones are more like just, dude, don't even bother.
Yeah, but that's interesting because this is not just mountain bikes on Onyx Maps. This could be for your Jeep or your side-by-side, so I'm wondering what those trails are for them. I guess same thing.
I don't
just
know.
Sheer cliff.
Yep.
And then also there's 8 different categories of like the type of terrain that it is. So that's another reason why Onyx Maps is giving you way more info than you're getting anywhere else. So go to onxmaps.com or onx offroad in the app store and find trails near you.
All right, cool. 250 class, Philadelphia. I don't know which one of you guys said it was good racing in Philly. This was a really good race. This was awesome. This 250 race. It was cool, man. Great racing. Max Anstey takes the win. He did admit to me afterwards, something that we were talking about in the press box, Seth Hammaker leading a lot of laps, and I said, did you think about the fact that Seth has been out with a shoulder injury, and this is his first race back, and maybe that shoulder gets tired, or he gets tired, and Max is like, yep, I actually did think about that, and I thought I would wear him down a little bit. Great ride. Max Anstey, like, obviously his other win was a disaster mud race win, like just an all-time mudder. Track was obviously perfect. And, good for Max Anstey, good for Firepower Honda. He's leaving to Star next year. I don't think they're super stoked on that, those guys over there, but it's a step up, I think, as most of us would say. So good job to Max Anstey, JT, on Fly Racing for winning this race. That's cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. He rode really well. You know, like I think you have to be really opportunistic in that class, you know, and when, you know, McAdoo's out and then Vial and Deegan don't get good starts and you've been qualifying well, like you've got to take advantage of those opportunities. And
yeah,
I'll be damned if he didn't do it. So good on him.
He won a heat a few weeks ago, then couldn't do it. Then he qualified quickest and nothing happened. We saw him get a podium in the first round, right? But there was that huge crash that helped that out. And then like, yeah, up and down season for Max, like speed's there. And results haven't been, and then till this weekend it all came together.
Yeah, I feel like you really needed this. It would have been great if they won the title because he did have the red plate, but that's an awfully high standard to hold yourself to. But I feel like if you had all this speed, a lot of flying at the test track, we all know that, 4-time fast qualifier, got the heat, like you said. I think if he gets the win, which now he has, they can say this is a successful season. To just have that not get one. But honestly, the problem all year has been the starts, and then he finally got a better start. And then, yeah, I did hear his interview with you, and he also talked about in the press conference, sounds like they made some changes to the gearing and things like that, so maybe that's helped because he finally got a better start. Whatever. I know the other, the Alan Deegan started in the back, but
whatever.
Who cares? This is a great win.
And look, you're a privateer 250 team, and you beat the factories. That's big.
Well, no, I think, and I'm not trying to throw shade at him by Vial and Deegan. I'm just saying when the door's open, you got to walk through the open door. That's all there is to it, right? Yep. Like there are times when fate, you know, it's the sun shining on you. If you don't do anything about it, then those are the times. Like you got to do it. He did it.
Totally. Sammy. And further, I'd say they were close to him at the end, but in both the press conference and your interview, Steve, Max is a veteran. I feel like he was waiting out Hammaker for a while. And then I think once he had the lead, he said he changed his lines. He was managing it. He had more than – he just rode fast enough to win. It wasn't like one more lap and they were going to eat him up. If they started with him, I think he would have had a lot more. He just didn't need to.
No, it was great. It's like Sammy Hagar said, when love walks in, You got to take, you know, when love opens the door and love walks in, you got to take that chance. So, Vial was impressive. Deegan was too, but Vial's inside rut momentum corner skills were amazing. Like, he was crushing dudes, just hitting the inside ruts. It was really impressive by him and Hayden to come up from where they were. I don't know what their first lap positions were. Probably like 7th or 8th.
They're pretty far now, further back.
Great job.
No, it was like 12th, 14th, was it? Yeah, 13th, yeah. 14th.
It's crazy to see how they both blew the start. I guess Romano came over on Vial, someone said. I don't know if that's on purpose or not. Did you guys notice that?
We had a replay. Vial got sideways in the rut instantly.
Vial did.
Deegan was in the same rut that Jet used, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they were on each side of the box together, right?
Okay.
Yeah. I think Vial messed his own start up. Okay. I mean, maybe somebody moved over, but he was sideways.
Yeah. So crazy that both guys, like, you know, like they're in this battle, and if one guy screws the start up, then the other guy's going to, you know, probably be top three in going in the other first turn at worst, and then they both screw it up. That was a cool race, man. Hayden would reel him in. Tom would pull out. Like, it was awesome to watch, JT.
They were going for it. That's for damn sure.
I was glued to it, man. That's all I was watching, like, between the, you know, mostly. Like, obviously watching Jalik Swole, that was awesome, and take out Hemeker. But watching Vial and Deegan go through the pack was cool. And like I said, Tom's corner speed was amazing. So
I think everyone was bracing themselves, right? Anytime Deegan would get close, that he was going to try for an aggressive pass. And it was awesome for Vial to just not let it
– Nope.
Just not let it happen.
We were talking, there's a lot of like, is he in the danger zone? He is in the danger zone. Here comes the danger zone. He's out of the danger zone because then he would pull out. So we were, all of us in the press box were like thinking yes. But you know what? I will say Hayden's interview was really cool. I saw it on social media. It was classy, right? He gave it up to Tom. So.
Yeah, very respectful. Yep. It was not out for war. This is blood, whatever. Yeah,
right,
none of that.
Right. Yes. Go ahead.
Weed, your theory is not playing out.
That there would be some shenanigans?
Yeah, you thought it would just be on.
I did. Everybody in the building was bracing themselves when he would get close, but yeah, he didn't.
Nope.
Either he wasn't quite close enough, or there was never intent to do that. I don't know, but I mean, yeah, all I can say is it didn't happen.
Being antagonistic, maybe going after him in practice, comments, like that, it just doesn't seem like they're leaning into that right now at all.
No. Steve, I think you were with me on that.
Oh, yeah, shenanigans? Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I wondered if it was going to get ratcheted up to, like, 38. But it never did. I watched it in practice. Didn't see any of that. And in the main, I don't think he got close enough in the main to really do it. But who knows if he would have. It was, yeah, and his interview was good. I've been critical of his interviews because they're like something out of wrestling. But this one was fine, and it was a good race by both guys. So,
Romano did move over, now that I look at it, but it was what's done was done. He didn't need to move over. Yeah, Vial had already done himself in.
It's just like it's Star Racing. We kind of know how they work. So for them to put bikes on either side of Tom is something that we're like, oh, okay, cool. This is a team that stole a gate pick from somebody back in the day.
But we will never know the true – I believe the team says McElrath did that all on his own.
Mm-hmm.
We will never know the true crime when they stole Chase Sexton's gate.
Shane, noted – noted agitator. Yeah. Oh, there goes McElrath again.
Low character person.
Yes, there goes McElrath again.
Yep.
Causing problems. 15 points. We good?
Who had Tom Vial for this title? Who had him?
Will Christian.
No way, really?
I mean, she's been on it for a while. I'm not saying going in, but been on it for a while.
We talked about last week on the Pulp Show that we didn't give the dude enough credit. We talked about him.
Nobody did.
You know, said he'd be good or whatever else, but this is year two of a guy that doesn't have a lot of Supercross experience. JT, you're actually on the line. This is year two when and this is impressive. Yeah.
Really? Yeah, he's doing really well. Yep. For sure. I'm not seeing any Supercross where I'm like, oh my God, he's going to be the best. You know what I mean? But he's doing well enough. Like, this is great. He's going to win a title. But I'm very curious to see what he looks like outdoors this year with this confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And he just looks like a different guy right now. I very much want to see what that looks like when we hit promoter cross.
Hayden third. Good job. What'd you make of the Swole Hemeker thing? So they came together. Hemeker's like, man, I didn't even see him. Swole's like, he should have saw me. I put a front wheel there twice. Hemecker going way outside in the sand, Jalik doing the Anderson line and other guys' lines. And obviously, look, Jalik won the heat. Good job for Triumph, right? That's awesome. And then, man, that was a violent collision that they did. And then Hemecker said that Jalik was yelling at him, but then he did come back to the truck to apologize. I think it was more of a racing incident, yeah.
I watched it about 25 times today, yeah. Legitimately. And I don't think Hemecker saw him. That's true. I 100% believe that because he comes out of the first right in the sand, like, wide open, mm-hmm. right? Like, he is not expecting anything to happen because he is fully committed. But I also kind of see Jalik's line. Like, Jalik was trying to beat him to that intersection point, right?
Yeah.
And I think he thought if he could get there quick enough that he would force Seth to let off and brake. Seth was in no mood to brake. So,
well, we've seen Seth. He is never.
Yeah, yeah, yep. And that's what I'm going to get to that too. So two things. One, I think if Jalik is going to pull that move, you've got to be right on Seth's rear wheel going through the doubles, so you have like the closest opportunity possible to get there first. Like you can't be a little bit further back. You can't like force it. You have to be like basically on his wheel coming out of the berm, and then just cut across and hope that Seth realizes what you're doing. And then second, to where you were going. Seth is a guy that is never letting off. Like, he's just never. Like, you watch him with Anstey in those rhythm sections. Like, they are side by side about to kill each other, and there is no hesitation. Like, so I think a part of that is Seth's MO. Like, he is not scared of really tight racing or hitting people. Like, not block pass, I'm talking about, like, side by side. Like, he does not fear that.
The start in Birmingham,
I put myself
right?
in those shoes. I feared it all the time. Right. Like, if you were, like, willing to die for the position, I was usually like, I'll just pass you somewhere else, bro. Like, you, no problem. But I think Seth has that mentality. Like, he's not letting off for anything or anyone, which is probably a little bit to play here too.
And I didn't see it this way, but lots of guys did in Birmingham that it was Seth's fault in the first turn, you know?
It was some. For
yeah,
sure
yeah
was
some of it, but people were saying, yep. like, and that was more from him, what? Not doing what? Not letting off. So,
yeah. You can see when Nick lets off, Seth still holds it wide open, goes around Bennick, then tries to break, and like he was too late then.
What do you think, Weege?
Of Hemecker or the sand deal?
Yeah, Hemecker and Jalik.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's easy to say, you know, Jalik should have been more patient and threw it away, but I mean, it was hard to pass, and that was the one shot he had. So I always say, like, I've said this a million times, when the quarterback gets intercepted, it's like a calculated risk. He's like, I'm going to throw it. There is a chance this will be a touchdown, but I know there are two defenders there. My intention is that the ball is going to go into this guy's hands and not this guy, but it's going to come down to 3 inches. It's going to decide this, if it's a disaster or not. So it was a calculated risk. He had to try something. He'd been stuck behind him forever, and he's probably like, I think I maybe can make this. Damn it, it didn't work. I needed, kind of like your point, JT, he needed to be a foot closer, and maybe it's all different. But I always say this, they don't have calculators and handlebars. You got to try to make something happen sometimes.
Well, Weege, your football analogy is fine, but also, too, there's sometimes just boneheaded interceptions where you throw it right to the guy's numbers.
There are boneheaded passes, right, too. Right, but I think every time two guys collide, it's not always bonehead. It's, I thought I had room. I just got it wrong.
Yeah.
But damn it all, we're making decisions on the fly here, going really fast.
To Jalik's credit, I was like kind of surprised he was yelling at him because it was kind of a racing incident to me. And then and Seth said Jalik came over and apologized. So, but you know,
I've never seen Seth yell at anyone. That's surprising to me.
No, Jalik yelled at Seth.
Jalik was yelling at Seth?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And Seth was like, "Hey man, like, you know what?
No, you can't make that move on the inside like that and completely blast somebody and then yell at the other guy."
Right. Right. And so Seth was saying, he was like, "I don't know, man. I just." Anyways, Seth won the heat, hometown race. Although, is it really? You know, I'm kind of real dubious on this hometown race stuff.
Of course it is.
Eh.
If they had a race in Winnipeg, you wouldn't say it's your home race?
I'm born in Winnipeg.
You have billboards in downtown Winnipeg saying it's your home
race. He's not from Philly, sir. He's from the far side
of
the state.
He's from Eastern PA.
He
sounds like 2 hours or something.
Two hours.
I don't know what you want to.
Yeah.
So you don't think 2 hours away, the closest race he's ever had? Really?
I don't know. And then you got and then you got guys wearing Eagle jerseys out there.
Really? Is with this? This is not his hometown race? Are you kidding me?
It's a gray
area. I always say in motocross terms, this is a home race for sure. In motocross terms.
So anyways, so he won the heat. Good job. And
you're about 2 hours from Daytona. That wasn't my home race, or like okay. I give up.
You were not born in Daytona.
Why are you even taking this shot at Seth?
It's no shots. I just like, I don't know. Yeah. Doesn't seem like a hometown race.
No. You're out of control. So like, if you want to take a shot at Sexton for wearing an Eagles jersey, have at it. Like I'm here for it.
Man, did he really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just.
Is it because Hurts has won also, I guess?
No.
He had some 22.
Yeah, he had a corner, 22. Some cornerback's jersey. I don't know if he met the dude or what. I don't know.
Rigby or something?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Oh. Anyways, Jalik could have had a podium for Triumph, but they did win a heat race, so that's good. And then Seth could have had a podium, but then that happened. So Tom and Hayden got it. Pierce Brown could have had the podium too, but he went for a ride. He's fine, right? He got up. That was nasty.
Yeah.
This was a great.
That it was a catapult light. Because he did get the side ramp, and actually it was okay. That was a wild one.
It was a great race. This 250 main was a really exciting race. Lots going on.
So Hammaker's grandfather, it's the only pro race he's ever been to. There's no coincidence of that being his home race.
Well, now we're going into grandfathers and stuff, and that's how we're doing
it? I'm just presenting evidence, sir.
Why has grandfather not been to High Point?
It's far.
Okay. So Daxon Benick fourth. Never really noticed Daxon Benick. Good job. But I was so tuned into
everything
else.
Really? He was back there. He was like right behind that battle for a long time.
Here is how Dan Truman works. Weege, are you ready for this?
Oh, I love these.
Don't ever bet Dan Truman. So on our fantasy pod, I had a bet with Truman that Hymus would be outside the top six. Dan was like, yeah, six or better, like all day long. And I'm like, hold on. No, I don't think so. And Hymus needs Pierce Brown to, with a lap and a half to go, or two laps to go, do that. He needs Swole and Hammaker to do that with, you know, three laps to go. And Hymus rides himself into a fifth. That is so Dan. Like, we had bodies strewn everywhere, and that's how Dan, late in the race, gets this. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
So good. Yeah. That's so good. That's so Dan.
But good job for Hymus, fifth. He felt like it was a really good ride on the night, so good job. Cody Shock, sixth. No Mike Bonacci this weekend, but Cody Shock still at the media corral. Just trained that way, just like a Rottweiler. Just showed up there. So good job for Cody Shock. Hammaker 7th, Jalik Swole 8th. Did you guys think Hammaker getting up and riding through the mechanics area and then sort of riding?
No.
Did you guys see that?
No.
He got up in the sand and he could have just went around the turn and then just kept going and then made a left, right, after that wall. Instead, he got up and went directly off the track behind the mechanics area, stopped at that thing. I don't know what he was doing, man. I think he was maybe concussed. I don't know. Like, he took the most awkward path onto the track that you possibly could have.
But he rode through the mechanics area?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. It's going to be like, JT, didn't Andrea Adamo get straight DQ'd for riding through the mechanics area just in that same situation, where he went off the track?
And yeah.
He did. I wonder, did he stop because he took his goggles off?
No, his goggles got blue off his helmet from Jalik's wheel.
So did he? I was just going to ask, did he get goggled?
Nope.
The mechanics area.
No, he never stopped. He just and Adamo like apparently went fourth gear pin through it.
Oh, wide open.
Yeah.
Wide open.
Right. Seth was just like going for like an idle, like doo 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 doo, just really slow with no goggles. But he got hit hard enough in the head to blow his goggles off. So now I'm thinking, did you know where the track was going, Seth? I don't know. And also, let's talk about
a lot of hard hits this year.
Talk about John Knowles. Let's talk about John Knowles. Maybe goggles not holding up, you know, to the force of a rear wheel. No,
I don't want to be I don't want to be the receiving end of that text.
You know what? Yeah. As soon as I hang up from this, I'm texting him, and we're gonna, and then we will brace for impact.
Oh.
Watch
your back, Jaleek Swole. You blew those goggles off.
I don't know what happened to Preston Bosflug, but he was good all day. Qualified really well. Suzuki guy, and then got a top 10, which I believe is his career best.
Oh, it is for sure.
Yeah, so good job. I don't know. He was good all day, so I don't know what happened.
He went from not making mains to was great in the heat and the main.
Yep.
Like, literally, he was a 20th place guy, and he became a 10th place guy.
Yeah, yeah, it was really
amazing
weird.
Amazing improvement.
Qualified. Base Fluke. Qualified well, too. Romano, 10th. Gage Linville, 11th. Career best for Gage Linville.
Yeah, so based on last week's great ride for Linville, I talked to him at press day about working with Yogi. He said Yogi is gnarly. Yogi's not afraid to get into him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said the big difference was Yogi was at Nashville and said, you're really fast in practice. Do it in the race.
Hmm.
And we got it.
Wise words. He did tell me that he picked up huge social followers from all the TV time in Nashville. He told me it was very big. Lots of text messages, 200 text messages, he told me, and lots of followers.
Battling Deegs.
Yeah. That's what that's the bed bug effect. Yeah.
Yep.
Kyle Peters was back, like I mentioned before. Qualified well, and then he didn't like his ride in the main event. So, got 12th. KP. Running his old amateur number, too.
Well, you know what's great about KP? Steve, RIP to you. KP lives right by me. And every couple of weeks, I will see a Honda Ridgeline with a number one Honda CRF 250R in the back. And I'm like, look at that.
That's
that is your arena cross champion right there with a Honda Ridgeline.
Yep, that's beautiful. That is beautiful.
I mean, he's a Honda athlete.
I have to wonder. I should ask him. I'm like, was that actually a gift? Like, did you get a Honda Ridgeline?
The great Justin Brayton had one for a while.
But I don't even know if that was a Honda deal.
No, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
KP.
Henry Miller, 13th. Pierce Brown, 14th. Hardy Munoz. That LCQ ride from Hardy. Just picture perfect.
Rock solid.
No
mistake. Would you expect anything else?
No. It was Michael Rocco-like in his steadiness. Maybe Hardy has turned a corner. Maybe we're here. Stay tuned, everybody. Ryder Floyd. I mentioned him on Fantasy Pod, JT, by the way. I got laughed at, but I mentioned Ryder Floyd. Made the main. Casey Cochran, didn't notice that. Marshall Welton had to go to the LCQ. Brighton Carroll needs a haircut. Crockett Myers made it.
Oh!
Yeah, Crockett.
You know how when you say the only thing you have to say about somebody is they need a haircut?
Yeah, they do.
Hey, work for Simonson.
Yeah, see?
Yeah, that Denver haircut last year was amazing.
And so, also, courtesy of Mitch Kendra, Vinny LaHovney from PA.
Oh, another PA.
Hometown race, probably. He lays concrete during the week. He's a concrete guy, and then
got a job?
Yeah, he's got a full job, according to Mitch Kendra.
Wow.
So, Vinny making a main in Philly also really works well. Yo, Vinny!
Yeah.
Vinny, you made the main. Philly. Did you guys see that picture of Stallone on the wall? You never went up to the press box area?
Oh, doing the Rocky pose in the stadium?
Yeah, in the stadium. Oh, what a photo.
God damn.
Stallone, packed stadium, JT, spotlight on him. Eagles jersey on.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, raising his arms up. It's fantastic.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
All right.
I'm trying to think. I thought I had a couple other points in this 250 class.
Okay. All right. Crockett Myers?
Can't remember.
You have a Crockett Myers point? You seem like you did.
Oh, actually, yes. Crockett was on your show, Pulp Show, when you were talking to Kitchen.
Yep.
Saying somehow, some way, he was going to race Supercross. It was good to see the end of that story where
So the end of that is he needed his bike to get from Florida to Boston, and Starling took it. Starling heard him on the show, and Starling took his bike, and then now he's just around.
So Starling took it to the next race.
To Boston, and I don't know who took it from Boston, but.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool to see.
Yeah.
Rainy Cross guys getting in there.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Yep.
So,
Yep.
All right, so we feel good with 15 points for Tom? Showdown?
I feel good. I feel good about it.
Weege?
Yeah, especially it doesn't appear that shenanigans are in
play here. So even with the showdown, 15's fine.
So we're going to go – well, we got one race left, but we're going to go 2 years in the class, 2 wins for Deegs. But he's
– I was afraid. I mean, I hate to say this, Steve, but it ran through my mind. I'm like, he's going to bring this up. He's going to do it.
What do you – like, you watch him ride this weekend and you have questions about whether he's good or not? I don't
Yeah, he is good. Oh, he's good. No. Yeah, absolutely. He's a good rider.
Yeah. Yeah, I had someone – say, once again, proving if he can't get a top three start, he doesn't win. And I'm like thinking to myself,
but the comparison was Michael Lessie.
Who's doing that?
The comparison was Michael
Lessie.
No, it wasn't. It was the only name you mentioned.
Yeah, but it wasn't comparison to Michael Lessie. It was not. It was like.
How could it not be when it's the only name you mentioned?
It was saying like Michael Lessie.
That's exactly what it is.
Is Michael Lessie.
That's what a comparison is.
Here's a rider that for you to reference to.
Right, that's a comparison.
No.
No?
No, it's not.
Okay.
You know what? I will say, I wrote this in my column last week. Like, he makes a lot of mistakes. He'll figure that out. He's probably young, right, and sending it, right? All of that. He's
going to be fine.
He makes a lot of mistakes, and he's just got to smooth out. And I think, was Will saying that on the broadcast last week, that she talked to the team, and they said that, right?
And they do a whole thing, because, yes, they said that, and RC is very much of the mind of, like, you know, play to your strengths. Like, I made mistakes all the time. I just didn't crash. Like, if your strength is that you can ride that edge better than anybody else, that's what you got to do. That worked for him. And
well,
he's the greatest ever. So then RC said that on his pod, and I don't think Hayden was too pumped on that. But RC's putting the line in the sand. Like, don't try to become Jet Lawrence here. Be
why,
you.
Why would Hayden not like that? I don't understand. It's just some advice, like whatever. I don't know.
No, RC that Will did that report, and then RC on the show said he's changing too much. Don't do that. Be who you are. Don't change your technique.
Well, in Hayden's corner, RC made a shit ton of mistakes in 97, 125 Supercross, and he crashed a ton.
Well, no, that's what Ricky always said. Like, if he tried to slow down and be super perfect, he wouldn't have been as good as he was. So if your thing is you can push the envelope and stay upright and go fast, then do that. Don't try to be what you're not.
Hayden doesn't crash near what RC did in 97.
He doesn't.
But he does make mistakes, but RC figured it out, and I think Hayden figures it out, you know. But
yeah, and that's, I think, what RC is saying. Don't change your technique. Because RC even told me, he's like, everybody told me how smooth Evan Windham was, but I was just, that was not what I was ever going to be able to do.
Right.
I didn't even worry about that. So I think he's concerned that people are going to look at, for example, this is how Jet Lawrence rides. This is how you have to do it.
Yeah. I mean,
And it's like, nope, that's not for you. Right. And maybe the only way to beat the guy is to do it totally different.
Well, in 97, Ricky had to go up against, you know, Team Suzuki's Tim Ferry.
That is true.
And what are you going to do against that?
That is true. There are no answers.
You're going to push the limits constantly because that's what Timmy did.
You're forced to.
Right, you're forced to. When Timmy was double singling the triples, I mean, what are you going to do? How are you going to stop that? So, but yeah, I don't know. Yeah, he makes a lot of mistakes, but he'll figure it out. And but that was cool to watch them rip through the pack. Like I said, it was a great race.
Well, yeah, the point I was making before when somebody told me, they're like, oh, yeah, Deegan, if he doesn't get a top three start, he doesn't win. I'm just like, well, who does?
Yeah, I mean, right? Like
15th to 2nd or 3rd or whatever is not like, see, he's not that good.
Right.
That means to me he is pretty good.
But I just, you look at the heat race in Boston, you look at Nashville heat race, you look at, like, he, even in qualifying this weekend, I saw he, you know, a lot of times it's an error of commission where he's got the throttle pinned and the bike's not ready to go straight.
Omission?
Right? Commission, because he's committed.
I don't know. Is that a thing? I don't think that's a phrase.
I think that's a phrase.
Error of commission?
Sure.
I think that's an accounting problem.
Okay.
The other problem with Deegan this year is, since they decided to deny that there was an injury, we never really had info on how behind or how little prep he may or may not have had. We know he had a broken wrist, but we don't have any real data on it. So his whole season here, I think we don't even know how to rank it. Like, I just wish they had said, like, here's the problem. We didn't even ride for 2 months before the opener. We were behind the whole time. since they decided not to say that and said his wrist was only sprained and never gave us info of how long he didn't ride, we know he was hurt, so we kind of take it into account, but we could have taken it into account a lot more if they had told somebody. But he told everybody it was sprained.
Yeah, no, for sure. That's part of it. Also, I want to bring up 450 class. Justin Hill goes from like qualifying top 10 and looking great, and then this weekend just doesn't qualify. Now, I don't know. Maybe he was hurt again, whatever, but it's so Justin. It's so Justin Hill. Just so Justin Hill. You're like, oh, he's back. Look, he's top 10. Like, he's a great. And then this weekend, he's terrible.
He's right in there in the heat, in the battle, and then I don't know what happened.
Yeah, it's just like, you're like, you just never know, man. You never know.
That's true.
And still no new rap on Tedder's truck, by the way.
One other thing I want to talk about, I don't know if we have an hour here, Steve, so try to control yourself. A lot of 450 deals are...
We don't have an hour.
No, we don't. A lot of deals are, guys are on multi-year deals, so I feel like a lot of the silly season action has been in 250s, and it's kind of interesting how, I don't know if you know this, Steve, sometimes not winning titles is actually great for your contract situation.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, the only sport on the planet where actually not winning is super rewarding, motocross.
Yeah. Yeah, like I know McAdoo going out is a heartbreaker. I'm just saying he's going to be just fine.
Yeah, no, we mentioned this on the show last week. I said, although this sucks for McAdoo, it is fantastic for his checkbook.
Yeah. Yeah. So I honestly wonder now, like, Vial, is he put on a fast track now that wasn't intended? KTM Group is massive, so it's a little bit different. Like, whenever he has to go to a 450, he'll be fine. KTM will take care of it. They do. But I'm just saying, in general, winning titles is not always great.
Yep.
Deegan. Oh, so that's right. Deegan put it up in the press conference. Mitch Kendra of RacerX asked him, were you thinking if he won the title this year, is it almost better to have an extra year? And he said, the goal is to win the title, yes. But we did think about these angles, and being forced to the 450s in 2 years would have been great.
Yep. Yep.
Other than, you know, that whole, like, $750,000 net worth addition, other than that part, I agree.
Well, here's what I think a lot of these guys are thinking. Someday I'll get that title, and someday I'll get that bonus. So let me get many of these big paychecks first, and then get the bonus.
Maybe. Assuming you're going to win a title is a lot.
I agree, but racers are racers, and I'm sure they all think that day's coming. You're right, though. Most of the time, I mean, there's plenty of guys that got close and didn't get it. It's happened.
I hear that Deegan, they want to do their own thing, like on a Yamaha with Star, but their own team, which would not surprise me.
He's wanted to do that for a while.
Yeah, so... Yeah. Behind the scenes, that's a spicy meatball, I'm sure, to everybody on the sponsor side of things, you know. But yeah, that'd be interesting to see. So,
well, honestly, this controversial, I said that I think they actually deserve to do that, because I think they're so powerful from a marketing side that it is really hard to figure out what their actual value is, and team deals can't possibly be the right solution for that kind of math. It can't be.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. Look,
well, I think he has the ability to go out and sell himself. You know,
for sure.
Most drivers can't. Like, they're just not going to be able to get any value out of that. You know, they're usually the benefactor of the team sponsors bringing in money to pay them. I think it works in the other direction on this particular deal, which is your point.
It is. So I if anyone hears this and is like, that's messed up. No, I think they have a right to be like, well, should we really be getting the same deals as everybody else?
Look, Stu did it with Skip PC. Ricky wore different gear his last year.
Yeah.
Like, there are...
Can we talk about Stu not taking that monster deal? What that would look like now?
Yeah, yeah. Only you really think about that stuff, JT, but yeah, you're right.
I do. Well, I think about what that... How much money that is now.
Yeah, but JT, we're talking about is... They offered a stock
waiting deal. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
And that stock's up, like, 5,000%. You know, something insane.
Yeah, what's the word people throw around? Like, it could have been worth $80 million or something.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's true, but I'm sure it was a lot.
I did the math. I went back and looked at the time frame.
You did?
06, 07, yeah, where the stock was. And I kind of guesstimated what his Red Bull deal was, which is probably what Monster offered him in stock. And it's probably worth about $50 million.
Okay, 50.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Red Bull didn't pay him $50 million.
No, it's just that's what the stock has grown into, right?
Like, no, that's what I don't want people listening to this to be like, yeah, but what do those energy drinks pay?
Yeah.
It was not worth anything near 50.
It's not 50.
Yeah,
million.
They're anywhere. They're, you know, a lot of those deals are around a million. You know, they're a million ish.
Right. So he made 8 or 10 million from Red Bull.
Well, yeah, I think Stu was looking at, I can get a million a year. Like, that's great money. And I take no risk. I don't even know what, Monster stock's going to do. I don't know anything about that. Right. 100%. But I can get $1 million a year to stick with the company I've always been with.
Yeah.
So I understand it, but man, in hindsight, you're like, holy crap.
Yeah, speaking of that, like, there's just no way Monster ever lets Deegan go. Right. Like he's such perfect for their image and everything else. And so you look at the future of Hayden and I think you rule out an Austrian team. Right.
I really want to see how this whole thing goes. Like, does Monster ever just throw the entire checkbook at Jet? Like, vice versa? Does Red Bull ever go after Deegan? Like, those are pretty interesting. I'm not saying they will, but it wouldn't shock me at all to see Monster come in with some insane offer to Jet. Because they have – Red Bull has money too, but Monster feels like they're kind of DGAF at times with stuff like that, like going to get Tiger and some of these things. I don't know. It'd be interesting.
I still feel like teams rule the world. I see – if Jet ever switches, I think it would be more from a manufacturer going nuts to get him.
But Sexton was Monster last year. Like, I don't think that has anything to do with it.
That just shows, like, he just switched teams. It was nobody – meant nothing.
Oh, I thought you were saying that Honda wanted him to switch from Red Bull to – Monster.
No. What I mean is, if Jennifer switches teams, it's because a manufacturer is coming in and blowing Honda's deal out of the water, or he doesn't like riding a Honda or something anymore. I don't think the energy drink.
And then
thing
he just
is.
Puts on whatever energy drink that team is.
Yeah. Now, Deegan maybe is different because, again, his metrics are just off the friggin' charts compared to the rest of these guys. But I don't know. I've always felt like the energy drink influence is overrated from what
I'm just saying. Those guys, I don't know. Yeah. Those guys throw huge money at these guys, like not necessarily our sport all the time, but
yeah,
I mean, there's deals some teams like, say Esteli like guys like yeah. Lewis Hamilton deals are insane.
It's true, but I feel like they don't rule the roost like people think they do around here. In fact, I've heard some teams say like, we'll go to them and ask for extra money for the guy, and they're like, we already gave you a ton of money.
No, I'm talking about
good
Jet.
Riders.
I'm talking about Jet. I'm not about. Yeah, I'm just Jet is a different. Yes. There are not going to be many board meetings where riders are going to come up, but Jet would be one, yeah. Right?
Like, and Deegan also,
right? That's what I mean. Those are different. Those maybe are different, you know, needle moving guys.
Yep.
And yeah, I could see something happening.
I don't think. Yeah, I don't think Monster ever lets Deegan go. So he just rides whatever he needs to stay Monster, because that money, that side money, would be huge. He fits everything they want, right? So,
Well, we have heard Cowie is interested in him, as you mentioned a couple weeks ago.
I mentioned that.
Yeah, that was one of your big jokes on the show. That you're like, hey, man, I heard Cowie's
interested. Oh, yeah, no. Yeah, that was somebody told me that. And I was like, yeah, no shit. Like, everyone's interested, yeah.
No, I've heard that is true. I mean, he's a free agent, but it leads to your point of it's just another team that's sponsored by Monster taking a shot at it.
Yeah, for sure. By the way, before we wrap this thing up, Denver live show this Friday night, Jason Thomas, Justin Brayton, who's taking the place of Weege, will be much better. And myself. So, and we'll have some special guests as well. So please, tickets are available on pulpmex.com. Appreciate that.
What's the name of that theater? Desert Rose or something?
Nope, that's in Portland. This is the Oriental Theater.
Sorry, Oriental.
Yep.
I apologize.
Really nice theater. And so buy tickets on pulpmex.com. And then this week, gentlemen, I need to get your predictions on this. This week is the showdown between Kiefer and myself. And we are racing three-lap races. Me and my 450. Kiefer's on a new modern YZ125. Then he is also going to ride my 1990 YZ125. And then he is riding a YZ85. Three laps. Do I beat him on any of the bikes?
I think he goes 2 out of 3, possibly 3 out of 3. I just don't know about the 85. That's interesting.
Okay.
But he wins the other two pretty easily, I think.
Sad. All right, Weege.
This is fascinating. I don't think anyone has any data. Does anyone have any data on this ever? Are you like the only two guinea pigs ever do something like this?
I don't know. Probably. Right.
I've never, because everybody just has theories and hunches on like how slow is a 125 compared to a 450. No one knows.
Yeah.
But I'll do the same as JT. You said that 1990 125 is slow.
It's bad.
But
But I don't know. And these are how many? What about fitness here? I know it's only three laps. But could you be gassed by then?
Three laps.
Yeah, I would take a wager on. I would take a wager on 2 out of 3.
Okay. I had someone say he's going to beat me on the modern 80 and the modern 125 and not on the 1990. And that was a little bit, yeah.
Nah, I think the bigger wheels, huge factor here.
Yeah.
Hey, Kiefer's like 6'1 or something, isn't he?
No.
6'1?
You're thinking of 70K. You're thinking of that.
6 foot?
He's my, no. Yeah, he's.
He looks tall on a bike.
I think he's like 5'10.
Yeah.
I thought he looked tall. I'm just saying, 85. Damn,
6'6" man. I know tall when I see it.
You know,
they all look like giants to me.
You know how I kind of got this idea for the video, right? Well, we were at Glen Helen riding, and Doug Dubok rides up on an 85, and I'm like, "What are you doing?"
Of course.
He's like,
course.
"I'm doing endurance testing for GYTR on this 85." I'm like, "What?"
Of course he is.
Yeah, and I'm just like, "You ride an 85?" He's like, "Yeah, it's fine." And I started thinking, like, could I beat Dubok on an 85 here up these hills at Glen Helen? I'm like, no, probably not. And then that got the whole thing thinking about it. So
it'll really put the entire industry, I think, on its head to know what the difference is.
Okay.
I'm with JT. I think the 1990 125 is the real fulcrum of this. Which way will that
No,
tilt?
JT says the 85 is the fulcrum of this.
Oh, you're saying he's got – Kiefer hasn't beat on the 90 125 all day long.
Yeah, no problem.
Oh. Okay.
It's the 85 that's the problem.
Yeah. Just because of the bigger wheels and smaller wheels, like the handle well, it really does matter a lot having those little wheels on the 80. It's hard to ride. So that's only what I'm worried about.
We're also riding
the other two, I think, are gonna be pretty easy.
We're also riding a neutral track that neither one of us have been to.
Yeah, Kiefer's a good rider though.
Oh, he's a great rider, yeah.
Yeah, it's not a fair fight. I just don't think it'll be much of a battle.
Okay. All right, well. Screw you.
I just saw Carson Brown on a YZ.
I mean, bro, I got my head kicked in every weekend racing pro my whole life. Like, it's fine. Kiefer's a really good rider.
There's no retirement announcement or anything, Steve? Like, if you get beat by the 85 or anything?
Anything? I made a joke about riding into traffic if he beats me on the 85. I don't know if I'll really pull through on that.
Okay. I saw Carson Brown ride a YZ65 on Instagram last week. I showed my kid. I'm like, do you see what your bike is capable of? This is what... It makes no freaking sense. Like, I don't know how he does it. I mean, the 65 is even significantly smaller. It is so freaking small. And he looks so giant on it. I don't know how he does it. It's unbelievable. So I'm really curious to see what Kiefer looks like on the 85.
He is very confident. He's beaten me on all three, and I don't have a chance. So, yeah, we'll see. All right, stay tuned for RacerX videos on that coming up on RacerX Online. So, okay, Philadelphia, we're on to Denver. Run to Denver.
Big weekend.
LCQ race on Friday first. That's the big thing. And then this other Supercross thing.
Live show. Can people watch that? Is Verb doing your deal?
Yeah, Verb's streaming it. Yep, good.
What time?
3:30 Denver time, I believe, is the race.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah.
And JT's going to help out, I think. We don't know.
That's going to be tough on JT's schedule.
I don't know. He said he was in this weekend when I was trying to boot him. So.
I'm going to try to make it work somehow.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, we have meetings, but I'm going to just kind of preface it. Like, I'm not going to be down there the whole time, like, standing around. Like, I'm going to be hustling, but I'm going to try to make it work.
Okay, fantastic. I love that attitude. All right. Thank you to Fly Racing. Thanks to the sponsors. We're Philadelphia. Great race. On to Denver. Thanks, Weege JT.
See you guys.